Well, we actually have this thing in mental health that's actually quite funny. We talk about it being from the neck up. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in, and I work part-time in mental health, and the people that I work with show me a great deal of respect. And they know that I have a strong affiliation for the physical health affecting mental health and mental health affecting physical health. So in many ways, it's just astounding. I just don't know where Tom Bowen got this from and how he knew this was going to work, because it works.
Welcome to BowenFest 23 podcast series. Join Chris Reed in conversation with Vanessa King. Building your mental health muscle. Three key features to support your clients in a well-being framework.
Okay, so I'd love to welcome Vanessa today to BowenFest 23. And Vanessa, you come to us today, well, you come to us today all the way from New Zealand, because I'm over here in Australia, of course, but you also come with us with a wealth of knowledge in the health industry. So over 20 years in the health industry. And so you've worked in pharmacy, you've worked in the mental health area and disability sectors, and you've also practiced naturopathy and Bowen for quite a long time, and, you know, around the 15-year mark, which is fantastic, treating people all ages and lots of different health conditions as they come to us as Bowen therapists, and I'm sure as naturopath, with a whole range of conditions. And you are recently training now to become a Bowen instructor. That's very exciting. And you are also now the chairperson of the Bowen Therapy New Zealand. You're a very busy person at the moment, Vanessa.
Thanks, Chris. What a great introduction. It makes me sort of realise that, yes, I have been working in health for an extremely long time, and, you know, I highly recommend it to anyone. I've had such joy working in health. People are always interesting. Our Bowen Association in New Zealand is small. We're a small country, but, you know, we've just got to step up and show the love and, you know, come together as a group and grow Bowen right throughout our little country. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. And today, conversation today is about building your mental health muscle. And it's these three key frameworks that we're going to talk about today that that we can sort of help us to support our clients. So you've been in the mental health industry for quite some time.
Actually, I think because that actually started when I was in Brisbane. I was working in hospital pharmacy, which I really enjoyed, actually. And then I was a volunteer friend to a lady with Down syndrome, and we were friends. So even though, you know, I worked in my regular jobs and she sort of lived in sort of a communal housing complex, that we were sort of matched up together through the Salvation Army in Brisbane. Yeah, we had a great sort of time there. And all the time that I lived in Brisbane, I would sort of catch up with her maybe every 2 or 3 weeks. And that's where my journey in the disability sector started. And yeah, it was great. We, you know, and I, you know, would keep seeing her until I decided to move home. So that's sort of where it started. And then I went on to study a diploma in community work in Brisbane and went to work for a mental health community organisation in a respite house. And it was just fascinating, truly fascinating. That sort of role was a little bit similar to the one that I have now, in that you're really targeting those groups of people with a diagnosed mental illness. And there's a real difference between mental illness and just what we would term mental health concerns or complaints, like chronic stress or low mood. So yeah, people with mental illness generally have a diagnosed condition from a psychiatrist. Really, really amazing. So yeah, I still enjoy the work now.
That's great. And you've been a Bowen therapist for quite a few years as well. So where did that fit? How did you come across Bowen therapy? Was that to do with your original work you're doing in mental health, or was it a side thing? And then, I suppose what we want to talk about, it would be great to see how the two come together.
Yeah, so I was studying to be a naturopath, so I was working as a technician in a pharmacy, and I'd moved back to New Zealand then, and it just sort of dawned on me quite suddenly one day in the pharmacy that I would study to be a naturopath, and it was really sudden, and I mean it was 15 minutes sudden. I'd gone up for morning tea, and by the time I'd come down, I thought, well, that's it then, that's what I'll do now. And it was really good because I was able to study and work in the pharmacy for all of that time. And when I moved to Wellington, that's when I got into Bowen therapy. I was doing some massage training through the Wellington School of Massage Therapy, and Richard Rust, who was the instructor, was teaching Bowen as well. Richard has made such a difference to my life and my work and my Bowen practice, which is why I went on to study with him. But it wasn't until all of these 15 years later that the impact of the instructor that you have and that I had has made me what I am today, and how much I still love doing it and find people fascinating. I find health fascinating. I find Bowen fascinating.
And what's the intersect there? So if we talk about, and we see so many people come through our clinics, and some people have purely a physiological or biological issue. And obviously there are some people who have some mental health or some mental illness as well that we may come across. What's the intersect with Bowen, and how do we sort of, what are we looking out for as a Bowen therapist in how we might be able to help these people, and what are we looking for or listening out for?
Good question. So yeah, I think generally, and you'll probably find this as well, and you'll know much more about this than I would, but I think people generally make an appointment because they have one problem that they want looked at or help with, whether it's a sore shoulder, the low back's really sore, or headaches. And so there's always, I'm still a bit old fashioned, I still write notes on paper. So there's always just one topic that people come in for. And it's not generally until you start taking a little bit of a history. And I always ask people what medication they're taking. And that always gives me a bit of an insight as to what maybe the health professionals think about this person and their health. For instance, if they've prescribed antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication, etc. So yeah, there's a real difference between mental illness and mental health. People that take antipsychotics, I think, are probably not really going to be turning up at the clinic as such. Having said that, some antipsychotics are given to people in low, low doses for sleep, if the doctor might see a connection or a problem that they think, oh, we'll just start this person on this tablet. And that might be a really low dose antipsychotic. So people with mental illness might be taking a really strong dose of that same tablet. It just depends why people are coming in. But, quite often the conversation will start, and then you'll realise that people have some mental health concerns. And I say that loosely, actually. They don't tend to come out with it straight away or say, I'm here because I'm anxious. Even though they do, it's not generally, in my understanding, the first thing that comes out. It takes a little bit of time to build up some rapport before people will start unloading or talking about things that are happening to them. They might say, oh, I'm under a lot of stress. And you say, thanks for letting me know. That's really interesting. Just try and help you with that today. And if you can come back for two or three more visits, of course, this is how we like to do Bowen, is to approach the body, through the process that we do. And hopefully by the end of it, you will feel more relaxed. That's the type of approach that I tend to take, just trying to make people feel comfortable about talking.
And if somebody comes in and says that perhaps they might write on an intake form that they're taking some medications, they might say they're under a lot of stress at the moment. I'm wondering, because some Bowen therapists won't have the mental health training that you have, and I'm wondering how far down that rabbit hole do we go? Are we supposed to know, like if someone says, I'm taking this medication, how do you unpack that if you don't have the mental health industry knowledge that you have? Do we just ask them, what's that for? Or why have you been prescribed that? Well, how do we go there? And how far down that mental health sort of road do we travel and still stay within our scope as a Bowen therapist?
Yes, that's so true. I think it might be a little bit easier for me to say, what medications are you taking? Because I know what they're for. Whereas other people might just want to say, and something along the lines of, are you taking any medication for any medical complaints? And they might say, yes, I have diabetes, I'm taking metformin, I take an antidepressant. It probably doesn't really matter that they need to know what type of antidepressant it is. So antidepressants are classed in a group. So there's three or four or five different types. Doesn't really matter whether it's an old-fashioned one or one of the newer ones. you know, it just gives you an idea that this person has been diagnosed with depression and they're taking an antidepressant. And that's probably enough to know. I do tend to talk to people a little bit about potential side effects, but that's probably out of the scope. But I think it's, you know, fairly common just to say to someone, oh, has this happened since you've changed your medication? That's something I do say a lot. I feel very comfortable saying that. And in many ways, it's just about sort of turning it or flipping it around and saying to someone, oh, do you need to check in with your doctor about that next time you're there? For instance, if a rash comes out suddenly and they've changed their medication. But I agree with you about the rabbit hole, because we probably don't want to encourage people to go too far down it. Yeah, so if, you know, you sort of get to sort of know what people are like, and, you know, they'll be, I think people are fairly forthcoming with that type of thing. Like a lot of people take Losec, and there's a few different names for that. Omeprazole, it's the same thing. It's for, you know, reflux of God. You know, the three or four most popular medications that are prescribed are statin medications for cholesterol, paracetamol for pain, antidepressants. There's always a few different names for them, and omeprazole for the stomach. So,
and people will sometimes seek out a Bowen therapist for stress. It's interesting, a couple of years ago here we did some research, and the most asked question on Google was, can Bowen therapy help stress? And so people will come perhaps with anxiety or be diagnosed with anxiety or depression and stress. How do we as a Bowen therapist approach that?
Well, I think the beauty of the Bowen is just in the basic procedures. I mean, you know, we read about Ozzie and what he said in the Bowen Hands, and look, it's just incredible. It really is. It's so simple to just work through the BRMs. People come for stress. That's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a really, really great thing that people might realize they're going through some difficult times, but it's just sticking to the basics. And that's what we've known for so long.
In the title, you mentioned the three key features Bowen therapists can develop to support clients' well-being. The first one being, have your mental health ears and eyes on. What are you looking for, noticing, hearing, not hearing? Can you walk us through what you mean by that?
Thanks. I think that's a really good question. When people come up to the clinic, I can sort of see them walking up the path. And so, I suppose when we look at, you know, gait or just sort of how people are walking towards the clinic, is really a good starting point, is to sort of see whether you can sort of pick up whether it's a sore knee or a sore hip. But what can sometimes happen when we're talking about mental health is that people will look down towards the ground, their shoulders will be slumped slightly forward, they're not smiling. These are sort of quite key things, because in some ways people don't realise that you've seen them, and it's just a good way to sort of make an overall holistic sort of assessment. I guess it might be quite casual, but I think those are really good ones. And the facial, I'm fascinated by the facial expressions that people have. What does tend to happen when they come back for other sessions is that they will stand up straighter, they will look up more, and their face will be a lot happier. So that, then you'll know that the Bowen work is getting there and that you are affecting them positively. If you got to the third session and you didn't see any improvement in their manner, the way they're talking, the way they're looking, the way they're smiling, that might be a bit of a red flag that someone needs some more help as well, that they might need to sort of check in with the doctor. So that might be quite subtle in the way you sort of perhaps handle that. It's always a bit challenging to sort of suggest people go and see someone. But, you know, it's good to do that, because it might be your only chance. And what I sometimes say to people is, look, you know, I might be the only person that says this to you. So, you know, here I am and I'm saying it, you know, and I'm not really sure what it, you know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but it's, so when we look at mental health, we see something that affects the whole body, the whole being of that person, not just a sore ankle, someone limping in the door. People can be very pale. And of course, the beauty of the bow, and it's just astounding. It just brings colour to the face. It's incredible. But I think the other thing to remember is that try not to sort of, I've had a few people in today, actually, one in particular, and yeah, they seem to be sort of looking for answers in the first appointment. And I think it's best just to sort of, you know, get people to slow down, we'll see you next week. And they'll talk about a few other things as the appointments go on. But, you know, I think it's just best not to rush people, just to sort of let them see how you go. You know, for instance, you might realise the TMJ is out of alignment, which it is with so many people. It's just incredible. 80% of people would have their draw out of alignment. And would that affect mental health? Yes, but it's the connection that we would only see as bow and therapists. Also, the other thing that might sort of, you know, you might sort of connect the dots there is if someone has had an injury or a car accident, and they sort of start to say, oh, it happened since I fell out of the car or something, I don't know, or, you know, this happened since then. In the naturopathic sense, we're always looking back to what happened. Was there anything that happened around that time? Oh, I had a small car accident and now I've got a sore neck. Now I've got headaches, and now I'm looking down, and like, you know, you might see their gait is sort of all crunched over, and they're sort of a bit low because they don't feel very well. They're not eating very well, so you know, you might be able to sort of tease out these things that people used to eat really well, and they used to drink lots of water. Now they're drinking more alcohol, and now they're, you know, they're having takeaways 3 nights a week. These sort of little things that sort of might be affecting people's overall well-being. We use that term a lot, our well-being.
You mentioned earlier before about building rapport with somebody when they first come in, especially if you haven't seen them before, to allow them perhaps to open up a little bit. Have you got any sort of words of wisdom about how you would go about that?
What I seem to be doing a lot lately is noticing that people are, you know, they come in and they're sitting forward in the chair, and then if you lean back and sort of, you know, cross your legs and just sort of, you know, have an open sort of sitting position, that people might do the same as well. Or it's the other way around. You'll see that they're starting to relax and they'll sit back, and then I'll sit back and relax, and we'll almost be in this sort of mirror image of each other. And I know in some counselling circles they talk about that as sort of being reflecting, you know, you reflect what the other person's doing to help them relax. But yeah, and I think people, you know, I'm just noticing that people are talking more before the bowing, you know, starts, before you ask people to sort of to move onto the table, to the massage table. But, and I think it's a sign of the times that people are under a lot of stress and they just want to talk through a few things. So, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to do that for people.
So Vanessa, we talked earlier about one of the key features being about what we're listening for and what we're looking out for when someone comes into us from a mental health point of view. And also then we've touched on rapport and how we can make them comfortable and start to build that therapeutic alliance, which can be really beneficial, as you said. The third feature we talk about is reflection time, about how and when we ask questions. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in some ways it depends how much people want to talk. I don't think it's a really good idea to try and sort of drag things out of people, but there are some sort of key points to watch out for when it comes to mental health. What's really, really important there is just to maybe check in to see how people are sleeping. We've got a thing in mental health. If people have not slept for 3 days and 3 nights, things are really on a tipping point. So, you know, that's a really comfortable and easy topic for bone therapists to talk to people about. Sleep is so important for our mental health that people, you know, can just sort of go, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, we'll see the bone, you know, may help you relax, and that's a key feature. So then perhaps another one might be the way people are reacting to stress, whether they're not coping or reacting as well as what they used to. That's another sign that stress is creeping up there a little bit as well. And of course, the other thing is to what body parts or body systems it might be affecting. For instance, as a naturopath, we tend to look at body systems as the digestive system, the cardiovascular system, the nervous system. So it's actually quite simple from a Bowen therapist point of view, because we do know a lot about the body and we are targeting different areas and different muscles, but also different body systems. So if someone says, oh, look, I have irritable bowel, I have reflux and I take this tablet from the doctor for my reflux, then you sort of know that some, you know, there may be that link or that connection between the mental health and the digestive system, which really makes so much sense because the stomach is the first thing to switch off when people are under a lot of stress. And so you start to connect body systems together.
So I hear you saying that the mental health has a direct link to physical health.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we actually have this thing of mental health that's actually quite funny. We talk about it being from the neck up. And, you know, I'm a strong believer in, and I work part-time in mental health, and the people that I work with show me a great deal of respect. And they know that I have a strong affiliation for the physical health affecting mental health and mental health affecting physical health. So in many ways, you know, it's just astounding. I just don't know where Tom Bowen got this from and how he knew this was going to work, because it works. You know, we're talking so many years down the track and people are under different amounts of stress these days. You know, a long, long time ago, it was sort of like, you know, the cage lion coming out of a, you know, something, you know, and coming out, and that was stress. But now it's just chronic. So, and it depends how people are coping with that, whether they've had enough of a break between their stress levels. So, yeah, for instance, if people can come back for regular Bowen treatments, you may say to them, you know, please come back if you feel this is coming again, or, you know, if you just want to have some regular top-up treatments just to help you cope with stress. It's always a wonderful thing when people might say, oh, look, you know, I actually managed really well through Christmas holidays. I wasn't looking forward to it. My mother passed away last August. But, you know, I've managed okay, and, you know, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, terrific, terrific. Now, some of our therapists listening to this podcast may feel slightly less confident than others when they're supporting people in this space from a mental health point of view. What are some of the things they can do so they remain sort of within their scope, but perhaps build some confidence?
Look, yeah, I suppose if you find it a topic that's interesting, you could sort of do some reading yourself about it. But it's not. Yeah, I don't really think it's something to be frightened of. I know that when you say to people, I work in mental health, you know, and they go, oh, God, I could never do that. But people are fascinating. People want you to talk to them. They want to be listened to. And if you just sit there and show interest and be confident with the Bowen moves throughout your training, you know, then just like I was, that, you know, you do become confident. And at the basics, even off the basics, of how well they work. You know, I think if someone came in and said, oh, I'm really anxious, I've got so much anxiety, and you thought of, you know, you reflected that and you did, you look stressed yourself. I mean, I don't think that's such a good look. You sort of just need to sort of, it would be the same if someone came in and said, oh, I have cancer. You know, I've gone through chemotherapy. Someone said to me, you know, that having Bowen would help me cope with chemotherapy. So, you know, there can be a fear and we call it stigma around mental health. Mental health is such a broad topic that covers so many things. But it's a bit of a shame. They probably should have called it something else, actually. But, you know, then it wouldn't sort of be so off-putting for people to think, oh, you know, mental health, what's that? That's a terrible thing. And it's not. We all need to look after our mental health. But I just encourage therapists just to be open. Whoever makes an appointment, whoever walks in the door is a new person or an old client, just coming back and just sort of saying, how are you today? This is what I just say. It's so simple, Chris. I find it so simple to say, how are you today? You know, is there anything you need help with today? But yeah, mental health's a great subject. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been very enjoyable.
And with your experience, are you finding that who are you seeing in the clinic? Is there a cohort or a group of people that you are seeing on a sort of more regular basis that are sort of more worrying about their mental health challenges?
I think children are coming through actually, and teenagers, or parents are either talking about them or wanting to bring them in. And I think they're just sort of, oh my God, you know, they're just, you know, you can just tell that they have this thought going through their mind. Oh my God, you know, they've been bullied at school, they're not eating, they're not sleeping, they look, I mean, mothers know their children more than anyone else in the world. And, you know, mothers often say to people, oh, they don't look right. They've got bags under their eyes, they're not sleeping, they're really angry, they're really annoyed, they're annoyed with us at home, everyone's upset because the kids are upset. And so, yeah, probably noticing a lot more of that coming. And I think women I find are really good. They'll just come and say, look, I'm under a lot of stress, my bowels are all over the place, or I'm overreacting, I'm annoyed with my husband, and, you know, it's not his fault, you know, I think it might be the hormones. And so you start to get these layers of, you know, that affect mental health. And this could be, you know, the ladies taking HRT, which is fine, you know, I'm not anti-medication at all. For some, many people, that's very, very helpful. And they tend to go down that route, I think, if they know their mood is just out of control and they're yelling at home and things are just not good at home. I think they tend to go to the doctor and say, look, God, I need some help. You know, I'm overreacting and I don't know why. And it can be put back down to the menopause. An interesting thing about that, actually, is that some people, some women, when they're having their menstrual cycle, will dip really low. And you hear some women say this, that, oh, you know, it's, oh my God, that time of the month's coming again, I'm really worried again. But there is a condition that is related to mental health concerns with the menstrual cycle. It's very under talked about, but it is definitely there. And I actually heard someone say it just last week, someone that I know. And so it's incredible. There are many links throughout everywhere.
So it's really across a broad spectrum, isn't it? You're saying children, teenagers, women. Are men more reluctant to sort of seek out, say, a bone therapist or something around these, whether it be anxiety or something?
I think they are. I think it's really their women folk or their sisters or their wives that tend to send them in, and they tend to come in with a sore back. So, and that's, you know, I think that's the really fascinating thing with the men, is that you just go, okay, that's fine, because that's really all they want to talk about is the back. So that's what I run with. I don't sort of start to go on about anything too in depth, because I'm trying to build rapport and just get them in for at least the 3 sessions, if not 4. That's just really my main aim. And then people come in for top-up sessions. But, yeah, I do find that men, the younger men are probably a bit better. They'll, you know, I think they're under a lot of strain. You know, they've got the family, they've got, you know, they're working. And then, of course, women are working so much as well. But I do think men are carrying a load. They're carrying quite a load. Whereas women are more open and expressive. It's sort of the quiet middle-aged man that you need to watch out a little bit more for, and just sort of, you know, see how things go. And by the end of the sessions, they tend to have just slowly worked through things. You don't need to drag things out of them. They will just slowly mention another couple of things each appointment. And, you know, there's enough time. I mean, my appointments are 45 minutes, but I always allow an hour. And that's just the way I run. You know, I could change it, but it's just something I've been doing for quite a while, and it just works for me. So, but yeah, it is. It's, I think there's different categories of people, but, you know, if you just keep an open mind, and we know that the Bowen is helpful for everyone.
Yeah. So that, I think what you did there was almost wrap up what we've been talking about with using these 3 strategies that we sort of started the day with, started the conversation with, was really looking at that being able to listen, and with a male or a man like that, in that case, what you're saying is perhaps just sitting back and not trying to push too hard, but just allowing them to sort of talk while you build that rapport. And then sometimes just being, it's interesting what happens in the silence sometimes, isn't it? So people just often fill that silence with something unexpected. So that's that reflection that we're sort of talking about there. Can I ask, Vanessa, do you have a go-to protocol? So if someone comes in, and a first client perhaps, and I know it's going to be perhaps different for every client, but if they said, look, I'm just really anxious at the moment, or, you know, I feel my mental health, I'm struggling a little bit. Do you have any go-to, you mentioned before the BRMs and the how fantastic they are. Any other procedures that sort of you would mention?
I think as the years have gone by, I'm doing less on the first appointment. And what I'm generally doing for people on the first appointment, and I find very helpful, is just BRM one in the upper stoppers. And I find that people are falling asleep after the upper stoppers, and I'm just stopping at that point. Whereas before, you know, I would go BRM one, BRM two, maybe BRM three, but I just find it's too much for people. And, you know, I think there's a whole lot of reasons why I do that, but I just find that people, when they sit up, even after that, is that they just look so much different. Whereas in the past, I always thought you needed BRM one, two, and three for people to look different and relaxed. You know, we talk a lot about how people's complexion looks different, their face changes. But I said, I think, I suppose if you looked at it from a naturopathic point of view, and if you thought that someone was really anxious, then the kidney procedure would be very good. And that also helps indirectly with urine output, because people that are anxious may go to the toilet a lot more. But I do think BRM three is just pretty special. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Terrific. That's great. Mm. That's great. And so if we had, was there one thing, so people listening to this conversation, is there one thing that you'd like to sort of leave them with if we're talking about mental health and bone therapy?
Thanks. It's also a really good question. I think you just sort of be open to it. If people come in and that's the first thing they say, you know, you might be used to people saying, oh, my knees are no good, or, you know, my shoulder, it's my left shoulder. Or if people just come in and say, oh, look, I'm under a lot of stress, or, you know, I've been to the doctor and he says I've got an anxiety disorder, just sit there as if it's someone with a sore knee. It's just a normal thing that people are probably going to present with if they're not already. And it's a wonderful thing, because what happens, I think, is that the rapport building stage is not really just with that person that's sitting opposite you. It's with everyone that they know that's sitting behind them. And that's something that I've picked up, and I'm in a business networking group, and I think that that's the thing. In the room, there are so many people behind the person that's sitting opposite you. So, you know, be polite to people, you know, ask them how they are without, you know, there's no need to delve too much. But I think if you can just sort of respond to any mental health concerns that people have, just as if it's something that's normal, because it is. I think it's probably fairly unlikely that someone's going to walk in and say, I'm a paranoid schizophrenic. And I say that with respect to the paranoid schizophrenic, because it's such a shame that that person probably isn't going to come in. And that's a travesty. It's just the way their life has turned out.
Terrific. Thanks very much for that explanation there. And some people might be thinking, who or when would I know to refer on? Like, you know, we have someone in there and we're thinking, gee, is it appropriate for them to see me alone, or should I be perhaps referring them for some adjunctive therapy or for something like that? And like you mentioned there about diet, and perhaps referring to a naturopath might be a great idea. And what about from a mental health point of view?
So that's really good too. There's some sort of key things to watch out for, and we would probably call them red flags. Once again, I'm not sure if we're going to see a lot of this in the clinic, but if people start talking about suicide, which has happened and may happen, and people sort of have a slightly funny way of bringing it up, I guess. But one of the things that's a real red flag is if someone has a plan. You may or may not feel comfortable about asking that, but people might say, oh, I don't feel as though life's worth living. That's, you know, may lead to something else, and you may sort of suggest that they see their doctor. I'm quite often telling people, have you seen your doctor? Or when was the last time you saw your doctor? I'm always very, very cautious of that. And that's perhaps for my own safety as well. And people might say, oh, I haven't been to the doctor for over a year. And you say, oh, well, you know, maybe it wouldn't hurt to go to your doctor. So that's a real red flag. If people have got a plan to end their life, that's where you, and at this stage and leading up to it, I would document whether you do that in your computer notes, a database, or handwritten notes. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you have it somewhere and you just say, I have suggested this person see their doctor, or suggest that maybe someone would like, whether they would want to have some counselling. And I would just document that, just to say, discuss mental health concerns, refer back to doctor, or suggest a counselling if that person was interested. So that, you know, it's just a little way to protect yourself there.
I'm not sure if in New Zealand they have mental health first aid, but we certainly have it over here in Australia. It's a course that you can do. And I recently completed it, and they did say it is a very good question to say, if you're someone you're thinking maybe talking about suicide, you can ask the question, have you thought about it? And as you said, then the follow-up question is, do you have a plan? It's very okay to ask that question. It seems very hard question to ask, but they say it's a very good question to ask, just as you said, because it can really help people. Vanessa, it's been a fantastic conversation today, and we could go on for another half an hour, I'm sure, but we better finish it there. And I'm sure people will perhaps come up with some questions to be able to ask you at the masterclass as it's happening on the last day of the Bowen Fest 23. It's been a pleasure to chat today, and thanks very much for talking to us about mental health and Bowen therapy and where we fit in as Bowen therapists.
That's great. Thanks very much. I look forward to the panel, and any questions that might come my way. Thanks very much for your time as well, Chris. Much appreciated.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation, but it doesn't end there. In the show notes below, you'll find a link where you can submit your own question, something that has piqued your interest from the conversation, to ask the presenter. This will happen on Thursday, the 19th of October, during Bowen Fest 23 Live, where all our presenters will be part of a Q&A panel. Put your question forward and have it answered on the night so that we can extend the conversation further, learn more, and connect more deeply. You've been listening to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series, proudly presented by Bowen Therapy New Zealand and the Bowen Association of Australia.